Take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 7. That would help if you had your Bibles, of course. Now, we look at Matthew chapter 7 here. We see the classic story. Where are we at here? What verses are we looking at? Verse 25. Yeah, the rain descended. The wise man built his house upon a rock and upon the sand and everything. So there's the story in the Gospels, you know, about building your house on the wrong foundation kind of a thing. And we know that Paul puts forth the right foundation himself, but everybody thinks that they have Jesus as their foundation, they're fine. So there's that story, but we don't need to go there. If we go to Luke chapter 8, we see another version of that thing that I've used many times. Marilyn, you've heard that. Patience, you've heard that. And probably Sam and all the tapes you've listened to here. Luke chapter 8, verse 11, 12, 13, 14, about the parable of the seed. You know, you've got the devil that comes and takes it out of their heart, which is why it's not from Paul, and they get on the rock, doesn't have any root, so they quit. People quit, they blow away kind of a thing, because the wind can blow them away. You got those that get into the thorns and get caught up with the cares, riches, and pleasures of this life. It all fits. A guy could preach that, from a type standpoint here. And they have the cares, riches of this life, but we're not going to go there. We're going to go, as always, to Paul. And as I was working on this thing, because I'm bothered by stuff from a pastoral standpoint, even though there's nobody I'm pastoring to as such, I still read all these things, and I hear from people, and I hear the difficulties that's going on and everything. And so I started this thing out, this is a question I started off with here. Where are the Christians today? I mean, you go places, you can't tell if there's a Christian anywhere nearby by looking. And I know the old story about the appearance. You can't judge a person by the outside and all this kind of junk. But yes, you can. I'll argue with that thing till my face is blue or whatever. But so you go to these places, and where are the Christians today? I read about them. I know where they are. But even better question here, where are the sincere Christians? The one that really mean business. And this is going to sound like a frustrating sermon. I don't mean it to be. And, you know, the sincere Christian, not just the one that calls them a Christian, but they're sincere about it. They want to have a testimony. They want to have a stand. They believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. They go to a different, deeper sincerity, rightly dividing. An even deeper sincerity is rightly dividing by books, not by verses in the school you go to. And even the real deepest sincere Christian is the one that's trying to follow what Paul writes and teaches about in Titus instead of Proverbs 31, what he writes about in Romans 12 instead of 1 Corinthians 12 as far as the spiritual gifts, all the things that we recognize. You know, and that's the sincere, deep, sincere Christian. Then you've got this. Then you've got the Christian, which is just rare as rare can be, the one who's successful in their stand, in the things that they're presenting in their personal life, and the fights they have. They're okay. They can handle the fights, and they stand strong. Now, then I started thinking. I don't know why. I just started thinking of the story of the three little pigs. And so I just kind of thought through that story a little bit. And what we have here is we have three little houses. We have one house made of straw. We have one house made of sticks. And we have one house made of bricks. So I thought to make sure I would look up the story. I look up the story of the three. Now we're going to have noises. There's an airplane. We never have airplanes. We have never had an airplane fly over yet. I mean, we have an airport here. They even turned the light on the other day during a storm, which I don't know why, because the airport is also our golf course. You know, so I guess if you're golfing, you have an occasional hazard when an airplane wants to land there or something. I don't know. Haven't been there yet. It's not like somebody was bombing on us. Yeah. You know, we live in the noisiest corner of this whole town. If I close the windows, which I will if I have to, but there's a nice cool breeze blowing through here. So we get back to the thing here. Never had an airplane. Here we are, Sunday morning, 9:15, 10:15, whatever. So we go back to this. I read this three little pig story. Now listen to how this thing works a little bit. I'm reading this thing here. By the way, I learned something about this little pig story. Where did all my stuff go here? It's called the rule of three. You know, we have the law of first mention in the Bible. The rule of three is the principle in English writing that suggests that things come in threes are inherently funnier, more satisfying, and more effective. The reader audience to this form of text is more likely to consume information if it is written in groups of three. Go, fight, win. Then they got to thinking, Three Musketeers, Three Little Pigs, Three Billy Goats Gruff, Goldilocks and the Three Bears, Three Blind Mice, Three Stooges. So I pulled up a bunch of scriptures and looked at the word three in Paul's books, any of the books as far as that goes, New Testament at all. And I know three is a number of completion, but it's just an amazing thing. There's that stuff about numbers and about three. Three unclean spirits, three Sabbath days, 3 days without sight, obviously 3 days for crucifixion stuff. 3 days, 3 years, went up to Jerusalem to see Peter. Three that bear record in heaven, three that bear witness in earth. Anyway, so there's your three little piggies. Now, we're going to apply this thing in this manner. Now, here we go. This is where the sermon actually starts. I hope you can still hear this thing. Everybody's still got their scriptures, Bible ready, and everybody's perky here. The story begins with the title characters being sent out into the world by their mother to seek their fortune. And this mother in the story tells them to go out there and do good, and you'll be successful. There's your good works junk. It's all permeates Hollywood and nursery rhymes and the whole thing. And then there's a little paper here. It says, this is a common theme in fairy tales, in which the writers leave the familiar, the people in the story, I'm sorry, leave the familiar abode of their youth and its protection, venturing into an outside existence which turns out to be fraught with danger. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians 13:12. 1 Corinthians 13:12 tells us, that's one of the two verses I like about Paul, because you study the Paul stuff and we are supposedly supposed to grow up. He says, verse 11, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. So there's Paul. We know that when we get to a certain point in our life, we leave the house. We go out into this world, and we've learned all the stuff we're supposed to have learned, and that sort of a thing. And I know that we all leave our house thinking, well, now here comes the final. Now we got the answers to the world's problems. My own son even told me the other day that he thinks that his generation is the smartest of all. So I don't know how that came about, but. And we know that there's a process that we've learned from Paul. It's in Acts, I think it's 19 or 18 or 19 or 20, where Diana is despised. We have this thing in the D's where we discover that something's wrong. We discover that we're lost. We discover that this is the wrong thing we're doing. We make a decision, and we learn to despise what took place in our past, in our lost years, because it hurt us so much. And then we destroy it, we try to destroy it, then we go on and we try to live that new standard that we've developed. So here these little pigs are, they're thrown out into the world, and they think everything's hunky-dory, and they go out and do their little thing based on their little pig brain. So the first little pig builds a house of straw. Are we still hearing out there? Somebody type something or whatever. Okay, that's good. Yep, there we go. So this first little pig builds a house of straw, and this wolf comes along and blows the house down, and he eats the first little pig. Now, we know this story. The wolf blows it down. Now, if you're thinking Paul's stuff at all, you've got this winds of doctrine in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, where we grow up and we don't let this wind blow us around, the wind of doctrines. And we have to remember that doctrine isn't just a teaching concept, it's truth. And doctrine is Titus. Titus is sound doctrine. So when you're trying to learn to do something right and stand up as a Christian, man, where are these Christians at today? I don't see them anywhere. I know where they're at because I read about them and I hear from them, but you look out there and there's just no Christian, there's religion. But out here you can kind of see the Christians in a way because they've got a different presentation, but they're still part in the stuff they ought not to. So this winds of doctrine is actually standards, shamefacedness. We're looking at loud soft, all the stuff that comes across in Titus and Timothy and these things. Not Proverbs 31. Just the Titus stuff, the New Testament stuff with the risen Savior. I'll give you my list of where's everybody at here in a minute. This is just a preparation. Okay, so the wind of doctrine comes along, and here's this Christian who has made their standards kind of, if they're anything, out of straw. Any kind of wind of doctrine comes along, it blows it over here. And we know the whole story between the pig and the wolf. Little pig, let me come in. And then he says this famous little line, not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. And then the wolf, which is the devil, which is our temptations, then I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house in. So here comes all these statements. You can't dress like that. You can't talk like that. You can't go places like that. That's ridiculous. Nobody, you look stupid and embarrassing and all these things that come after us. And the weak little Christian today just blows over and dies. Okay? Now, there's a comment on this little story I'm reading here. It says here, retellings of the story sometimes omit the attempts to trick the third pig, or state that the first pig ran to the second pig's house. Now that's how I've heard that the first pig quick runs over to the second piggy's house. And the story goes that he dies. And you know, and it's just like modern Christianity here. Here's this pig in a straw house, this Christian with a few standards in the, and he blows him over, it's no big deal, and he dies spiritually. He goes to another friend's house. He just goes someplace else. He doesn't die. No, in the story he dies. So you've got these weak little Christians, the winds of doctrine blows along, boom, they're gone. They're just out of the picture. They die spiritually, quit. There's a flock of those everywhere. Okay, now we go to the second pig. Second pig builds his house out of sticks. Ah, a lot stronger. But, little pig, let me come in. Not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. Then I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll throw some temptation at you. And he's got to blow a little harder because these are sticks now, you know. And he still blows them over because they're sticks. It's just ridiculous. It's just not strong enough at all. So we got the tougher Christian. They can handle it, just like in Luke. You know, they build their stuff on a rock. Well, the rocks, wind comes along, and nothing took root, and they still fall apart. See, we don't have to go back to the Gospels. We can go back and read it. We don't need to go back there for our text materials. So we've got the second one that dies off here. Now, here's the point. We go to this third little pig house. His little pig house now. The third pig builds a house of bricks. Ah, now we got a solid house. The wolf cannot huff and puff hard enough to blow the house down. So these doctrines, these teachings, these people and their private little comments about you, their insults and their weakenings you and they're challenging you, they're laughing at you, and you're getting tired of this stuff. But hey, you're in a brick house. You're strong. And you can't blow it down. Okay, so the doctrines come along and you can handle it. Okay, that's a good Christian there. And yet it says here he attempts to trick the little pig out of the house. And it says here the pig outsmarts him at every turn. Well, of course he does. You know, you're in a solid brick house. And if we are that kind of a solid, sincere Christian, and we're standing on the Word of God, and we realize that this is right, we are going to have persecution, we are going to get hassled by people, then when we're standing solid and we're standing strong, you know what? We don't have to justify why we do what we do. You're at peace. You're doing these things with comfort because you know you're right. Not with arrogance, but you're comforted. And you haven't given up. You haven't let the winds of doctrine, the wolf, come along and huff and puff and blow your house down. That hasn't happened to you. You know what? When you're standing in that brick house and you're protected by the strength of grace and everything, you're not causing anybody to stumble. No, you're not. Well, remember we talked about this. I want to make this perfectly clear. The part in Corinthians where it talks about us causing somebody to stumble, us Christians have taken that thing and we have said we're not supposed to cause the lost people to stumble. That is not true. We are talking about causing the weak Christian to stumble by them seeing the liberty that we have. So we're gonna bother the lost people. They're not gonna want to dress like you and talk like you and go to places you go and not go to be interested. They're not gonna be interested in that thing. So everybody in the Christian world, then they go back to their former conversation. They go back to the short stuff. They go back to the tight stuff. They go back to the clubs. They go back to the beaches, and they go all this kind of stuff because, see, they don't want to cause anybody to stumble. No, that's not right. You're standing strong. You're supposed to stand strong. You're in this brick house. The winds of doctrine are going to come and huff and puff, and this temptation is going to come at you. It's going to blow at you, and you're going to stand strong. And you're not going to cause anybody to stumble. That, because a weak Christian is going to be seeing the strength that you have in your testimony. You're not going to please the flesh. You're not doing anything to please the flesh. You're always going to make your flesh unhappy. Romans chapter 7, Paul fought that stuff all the time. You're going to edify. You're going to edify the body of Christ. You're not going to edify yourself. You're going to edify the body of Christ. And I'll get to something else I saw here in a second here. And you're not going to be hiding behind grace. You're going to be doing the expedient thing. You're going to be doing what's right. Now, it sounds like I'm just whining again about Christians not doing the things they're supposed to be doing. Well, in lots of respects, yes. And I know I shouldn't be reading this Facebook stuff. I know I shouldn't be hearing from people. They write to me and the frustrations they're coming up with. But, you know, it's an interesting thing is very few people are writing to me about their lost family. They're writing to me, and I'm reading these things from the Christian family. Are you still out there? We get a yes. Yeah, we got one yes. We got two yeses. Nope, we don't have everybody. Okay. Well, I figured that would happen. There we go. There's some more. Yep. Okay. Whatever. Here we go. Where am I at here? So we got these Christians that are giving in and letting these temptations blow them out of their little straw houses, blow them out of their little stick houses. They're not getting into that brick house. I'm certainly not referring to the brick church, because the church is no place what it's supposed to be. And this thing about edify, we're supposed to be edifying the body of Christ. There's not a verse anywhere that says we're to edify ourselves. Now, there is in speaking in tongues. And I'll do that tonight. Something very interesting about this edifying thing. We are not to edify ourselves. We will be edified as a Christian. But our goal is to edify the body of Christ, not ourselves. And we've got these Christians today that think they need to take care of themselves. They need to edify themselves. They need to grow themselves. They need it's all about themselves. And they go out to these places and they do these things. They're in their little straw houses. When the temptations come along, boom, they're gone. You got stronger who think they're stronger Christians. Temptations come along, huff and puff, and blow their house down. They can't make it. They're not making it. They're back out in this world again. And this whole sermon this morning is to try to encourage the few, the rare person who wants to follow Paul teaches through Titus and through Timothy and all these things. You're probably getting tired of these things because you folks probably live everything just right. But you know, you're around people that are Christians that don't. And we are the ones that are giving in so it don't make them unhappy. We're the ones that are changing what we do, what we did for a while, because we don't want to make them uncomfortable. We don't want them to think we're judging them, because that's the whine they put on you. And I know church people, and I know churches that are dying because their little church suddenly became made out of straw and sticks. And they're going out there and they're trying to please the wolf. They're trying to please the people that are out there so they would come to church. And that is just plain wrong. You are going to offend the community. You are going to offend a lost person. They're not interested. They've got to hear about what the goodness of God is. They've got to hear about God's judgment. They've got to hear that this Bible is, there's one Bible, it's not 500. And they see all the hypocrisy among Christians and they're not interested. Okay, the church is not even designed to have a lost person want to come. Other than your life has changed, your life is better, and they see that, and want to know what's going on, and they get themselves saved, they read in the scriptures, and you show them, and they come to the church to see where you've been fed, and they see the difference life, they see the changed life. That's what church is supposed to be all about. Read Ephesians chapter 4, read Acts chapter 2. People are in the wrong part of their book trying to build their church. They want to have a church with more people, so they're given into the community to make them happy. My point is this, get in that brick house. A brick house is a solid King James Bible. It's rightly divided. It's making those changes in our lives. We're not going to be perfect. We never ask to be perfect. He never tells us to quit sinning. He takes care of sin. And then we make those choices. We make some good ones, we make some bad ones. So the three little piggies here are a fantastic example of the three kinds of Christians we have out there. We've got the Christian that's, they're Christian, but man, a little puff, a little huff and puff come along and poof, they're done. They can't handle it. You got the Christian who thinks he's a little stronger and the wolf blows a little harder and puff and blow your house in and he blows the house down. And both of these cases, the original story, the way it was first written, both of those little piggies die. They don't go into the third piggy. They don't go to the brick house. They die. They become meat. And then when the wolf tries to blow the doctrinal winds on a strong Christian in his Bible, then it doesn't work. It doesn't blow his house down. And when he tries to trick the little pig out of the house, the pig is smart enough to outsmart the wolf every time. And then finally, the wolf decides to come down the chimney, and the little pig puts a pot of water, living water, King James Bible kind of a thing, into the situation. And the pig comes down, and boom, he's taken care of. So there's the story for that thing. Let me look here. Checking my notes out here. Your house is made of brick because you're Philippians 4:9, 2 Thessalonians 2:12, Titus. These are the scriptures that Paul gives us our strength with, knowing that we're going to have people putting these temptations on us. Now, here's something I got. I actually found a story of the three little pigs quoting to the wolf. This is his story. This is what he says. Everybody knows the story of the three little pigs, or at least they think they do, but I'll let you in on a little secret, he says. Nobody knows the real story because nobody has ever heard of my side of the story. This is Alexander the Wolf. You can call me Al. I don't know how this big bad wolf thing got started, but it's all wrong. Maybe it's because of our diet. Hey, it's not my fault wolves eat cute little animals like bunnies and sheep and pigs. That's the way we are. If cheeseburgers were cute, the folks would probably think you're the big bad, you were big and bad too. The whole thing is wrong. This story is really about a sneeze and a cup of sugar. Oh, because then he says, once upon a time, I was making a birthday cake for my grandma. I had a terrible sneezing cold and ran out of sugar. So I walked to the street to ask my neighbor for a cup of sugar. Now, this neighbor was a pig, and he wasn't too bright either. He had built his house out of straw. Can you believe that? I mean, who in his right mind would build a house of straw? So, of course, the minute I knocked on the door, it fell right in. I didn't want to just walk into someone's house, so I called, little pig, are you in? No answer. I was just about to go home without my cup of sugar, and I got an itch, and I sneezed. And I blew this poor little guy's little pig's house down. And there was the pig. I mean, he was dead. So I ate it up. What a waste of a perfectly good ham, he says. So he goes on to the second pig. He was a little smarter, but not much. He built his house out of sticks. I rang the bell in the stick house. Nobody answered. I called Mr. Pig, are you in? Go away, wolf, he says. I'm shaving the hairs on my shinny chin, says here. I just grabbed the doorknob and I sneezed again and blew this poor little piggy's house down. He's not going to believe this, but his house fell down just like his brother's. When the dust cleared, there's a second little pig dead as a doornail. Well, look at that. I get a second helping of ham. So that's just the way it goes. Now, here's my point about this story about the pig. This pig, the devil himself, changes the story, changes what's going on, takes the truth and he whips it around. I wonder how many people would, you could teach this story to your children from the wolf's view. Get all done to this thing and he can't get into the brick house. And he says, the third little pig and your old Grammy can sit on a pin. Now, I'm usually a pretty calm fellow, he says, the wolf says, but when somebody talks about my granny, I go a little crazy. When the cops drove up, of course, I was trying to break down this pig's door. All the time I was huffing and puffing and sneezing and making a real scene. The news reporters found out about the two pigs I had for dinner. They figured a sick guy going to borrow a cup of sugar didn't sound very exciting. So I jazzed up the whole story with all that huff and puff and blow your house down. They made me the big bad wolf, and that's the real story. I was framed. Then it goes on here, says the jury for the wolf was Miss Muffet, Bo Peep, Cinderella, and Humpty Dumpty. The real militant people here. Then they had a reporter here, and it all ends, goes into some more stuff here. It's actually a book written. This guy actually wrote a book about this thing. Action-packed, trial of the century kind of thing. It all ends happily ever after, of course, with a newly bonded wolf and pig. So the pigs and the wolf are friends now, along with the fairy tale jury and all the others heading for a post-trial party at the castle. This guy wrote a book. That's the new story about the three little pigs, according to the wolf. And we have people following their Christianity written through their Bible and their teachings, who was written by the wolf. And now this wolf and these little piggy Christians, everybody's getting along. And yet, they're dead. And my initial question here was, where are Christians today? Where are they? So, it amazes me, doesn't it? About what's going on here. So, where are the Christians today? I'll tell you where they're at. They're at the beaches. They're at the movie house. They're in front of their TV all the time. They're ordering their materials from Netflix. They're at the winery, tasting wine. Now, every one of these examples I'm going to give you, I could tell you the name behind the person that's doing these things here. The word Christians, they're outdoors. They're showing skin. They're showing their shapes. They're immodest. They're at restaurants, being the loudest ones of the bunch. They're at the bars, but the bars happen to be in the church, some of these churches. They're in church, of course, but they're just plain. What do we have here? We have Christians who are living in a straw house, in a stick house. And any kind of wind comes along of truth, poof, they just can't take it. They're gone. They're tired of it. They're worshiping a false god. They're worshiping an unknown god. They know nothing about their Bible. What they're doing is they're seeing things in their own eyes, by their own eyes. This is how they make their judgments. They're comparing themselves to everybody else, and they're realizing, hey, I'm not that bad. I hear this from these people on Facebook and selfish, what's that, what was that first one that came out here? I can't remember what that thing was called here. I looked this up, I just wanted to get it out of my system here. You got Facebook, I call it Farcebook, and you've got, you read about these things here. We've got these people that are, they're not following the risen Christ at all. You've got people that have swerved and turned aside into vain jangling. You've got people that are lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Now, could this be any of us? Sure it could. What house are you standing in? Are you in a straw house? Are you in a stick house? When the winds of temptation come along, and the winds of doctrine, these things, can you handle it? Or do you finally give up on it? These Christians today, they're in these places. They're full of foolish questions if they talk at all. They're full of contentions. They're full of strivings about the truth, about the law. They want to argue about that stuff if they want to do anything at all. And the Bible says that their spirit, they're unprofitable and they're vain. This is the Christians today. Let's get more specific here. And I'm going to cover both women and men. I'm not going to pick on the women only here. Don't get that thing going in your mind here. Where are the Christian women today? Well, you can pick them out of a crowd. They're the loudest ones still. They may say they're modest, but their dresses are long enough, but the tops aren't. Notice the fashions. They're long dresses, but they're tight and little stuff at the top. There's still skin all over the place, and they're loud. Sleeveless. I just got all sorts of stuff written down here. They're becoming head of companies. They're political. They're becoming the political candidates because the men are just worthless anymore. The women are running a feminized country, feminized state, a feminized political scene here. You go to Jeremiah and you find out that their Bible is like a treasure to them. It's like jewelry. Yeah, we got a Bible. I'm a Christian. But they don't do anything with what it says here. You've got the ladies say they're the ones wearing the pants of the family, pants of the store, pants of the company, pants of the neighborhood, pants of the community. They're out there washing cars instead of the guys. They're out there cutting down trees. They're out there working the forest. You got the, they're fixing roofs, climbing on roofs. You got ladies today, Christians up on ladders where they ought not be. They're going to exercise clubs, mixed clubs. They're so concerned about their weight and kind of a thing, which has reminded me that I now know that most ladies are modest because they think they're fat. I've seen so many ladies, you've heard me say this before in the old stuff here, they've lost their weight and they somehow become immodest. They're so happy to show off their skin and their shapes here. You've got these women, they're at the beaches all over the place, they're at the pools in town, they take their kids there, they're just showing their skin. You've got people, the women that are changing oil, driving heavy machinery, they're the mechanics. You got the guys now holding the flag, not that the ladies ever should be out there on the highways. They're redesigning the home, they're redesigning the family, they're redesigning the country, the world. The lawyers' offices are full of women, the politicians, like I said, the lawyers are supporting the women. They just don't even know what a real Christian lady is supposed to be. You've got the women that are at the helm of the ship. You've got, and the ship is going to wreck here pretty soon, but you've got the ladies that are homeschooling only if there's time. They have other projects to do. They got to be this homemaker of America, and they got to have this perfectly proper house, all these cute little hobbies going on, little gardens, all this kind of stuff. In the meantime, kids, get your schoolwork done. As soon as you get it done, you can help me in my projects here. So that's a joke. You've got, look at the sports world. The women are all over the sports world. I'm surprised LeBron James made so much. I guess I shouldn't be surprised. I mean, such issues in the paper and the headlines. This guy's making the headlines. Is he going to stay in Cleveland or is he going to go? Where is he going to go? Everybody was concerned about that. You've got, we're not going to talk about ladies being in sports, but we're seeing ladies living because they were in sports and they're aggressive. They're living the life they were taught to live when they went to sports. They learned to talk and have action like they were taught in sports. You've got they're bragging about this stuff on Facebook. Here it is, bragging about this stuff on Facebook. I call it Farcebook. You've got them on Tweedledee, Tweedledum, on that Tweet thing, whatever that is, and I call it StupidSpace, MySpace.com. They're advertising this stuff. I mean, it's dumb enough that kids get on these things and they take pictures of their drinking parties and they put them on Facebook and StupidSpace and all this stuff, and their parents can find them. And they don't even, kids don't even care about that stuff anymore. You've got mothers, you've got ladies that are talking, that are taking their kids to see naked people at the fairs and drinking and feeding them high energy drinks that are just no different than a liquid drug in so many ways. Listen, we've got these Christians that are in debt, right? They don't have any money, and yet they're going to these exotic vacations. Like, I hear this all the time. They're going to Las Vegas. They're going to Mexico. They're going to the Bahamas. Well, what is this? Where do we have this kind of money to blow? If you've got that kind of money to blow, then I guess more power to you. But why do you have to go to these places where there's extreme nudity, there's gambling, I don't get it. Christians don't belong in these places. And this is where people go for their vacations. You've got ladies that if they are Christian at all, kind of as maybe they're in the stick house, they think they want to be Proverbs 31 ladies. They hear that from the church. So I went through Proverbs 31 last night, and you know the verses they have to skip are verses 11, 12, 13, 15, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 24, 26, 25, 27, 28. They have to skip all those verses, and they can only claim verse 16 and 17 and 24, the second half of 24. Those three verses is all they can claim to be a Proverbs 31 woman. They will totally reject Titus chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 5, 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 3. These women today, they're making the decisions. They're turning aside after Satan, the Bible calls them. They're going out in public where they ought not be and showing everything off. They're thinking out loud, and we're supposed to hear all that kind of stuff. Oh, it's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. Now, where are the men today? Where are the men today? Where's my notes on the men here? I just had them here. Can't leave us out of either, man. Here we go. Here's the men here. The men, I see this all the time. Here's a dad. Are we still there? Are we still moving around? Is everybody still there? Okay. I see a man outside with his daughter showing him how to shoot hoops. Or I see a man outside with his daughter helping her run the equipment and that kind of a thing. I see men wanting these Proverbs 31 ladies. Why do they want a Proverbs 31 lady? Not to be their help with what it is that, not to be their help while they do what they do as a man. They want them to be their help to help them do what they do. This guy's a roofer, he wants his wife to help him on the roof. If he's a concrete man, he wants his wife to help him in the concrete. You know what I'm saying? That isn't the way it goes. A Proverbs 31 woman is a hard-working woman, but there's, like I say, there's only three verses that you can claim today properly. Titus is the one you're supposed to have. No, these men want their wives to be their buddy worker. They want their daughters to be their buddies, their friends. Help me lift the. Would you help me lift the car under the trailer there, darling, honey, kiddo? No, it's crazy. You've got women again in Home Depot instead of the man. What are we doing going to Home Depot to get this home building advice? And the ladies know more than the guys. What is happening to the guys? They're in lumber yards. We're not CEOs anymore. We're not the bosses anymore. We have no leadership. The schools are all women, such as occasional token man. Now, if any organization had as many men as the school has and as few women as they have, man, they'd be coming unglued. So the men are nowhere. Dad's teaching the girls how to dress wrong, because you can't dress this way to help me do what I have to do. They're not making their girls be girls, and actually want their girls to be better than guys. It's an amazing thing. And for the fathers that do have boys, they're punching them around to make them tough. And all they're doing is they're punching their kids, and they're driving their boys to their mommy, because the boy doesn't like to be punched out, and he's driving, and these boys become queers. I've said this before, I'm probably repeating myself this morning, other than the Three Little Pig thing. I know so many pastors and so many men that were so afraid that their boys are going to be queers, that they punch them, they treat them hard, they talk to them rough, and those little boys went to their mommies and they grew up, and they're all queer today. You don't toughen them up that way. It's just, men are just brainless anymore when it comes to kids. The men are letting letting her steer the ship. They know the shipwreck is coming. It says that in Jeremiah and in Acts. The schools are a disaster. We know that. The home, the government, it's all, they're running the ship. Jeremiah 50, where it talks about the sword is upon their treasure to the women, and they shall be robbed, and that's the men. We are letting our sword be like a trinket. It's a neat thing. I'm a King James man. Yeah, I'm a Ruckman guy, all that kind of stuff. And you're being robbed. We're no longer the strong man in the house, and we know that from the book of Luke and all that sort of a thing. So we know that stuff. We know that stuff. So what are you complaining about this morning? Oh, it's just my standard stuff. I just had to do one more, because I know too much of what's going on. And where are the Christians today? I mean, where are they? Where are we? What are they doing at these places? What are they doing out on the beach? What are they doing living like this? What is the deal? What are you doing going to Las Vegas for your vacation? What are you doing going down to Mexico? I mean, even the government says don't go to Mexico. They're going to kill you. And the Christians, oh, God will take care of me. Yeah, right. That just amazes me. Just amazes me. And if you're in the straw house or if you're in the stick house, you think things are going well, you haven't had anything hit you yet. When you're in that brick house and you're trying to do the right thing and you're trying to do Titus, forget the Proverbs 31 stuff. Get in and do the tough stuff. That's Titus and Timothy. So that's sound doctrine according to Paul. Now, of course, you've got to believe the King James Bible. And, of course, you've got to realize that rightly dividing is according to book of Paul's, not individual verses based on what school you went to. And you know that as a Christian, you want to do right. I read more things about people and they say, well, I want to do what God wants me to do. I want to be led by the Spirit. Now you want to be led by your feelings, by your heart. Go ahead. Discover you're doing something wrong. Make a decision about it. Despise. We don't despise things anymore. That's an axe. The religion. We don't despise those things. We don't despise how you used to dress. We don't despise where you used to go. And as a result, the wind of doctrine comes along, the little huff and puffs, and they blow your little house down. And all we're doing back there as Christians is back there just, not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. This is interesting, it's just me. But you know that most of these modern Christian men that are who's the guy with the purpose-driven stuff? All these modern Christian guys got to have these little goatees. What is this goatee thing? I know, you probably got some out there, I don't know. Whatever, more power to you. We got God's grace, but a goatee. Come on, if you're going to grow a beard, grow a beard. If you're not going to grow a beard, then shave it. Rick Warren, there you go. You know, and here's this little piggy messing with his little chinny chin chin. In the meantime, he gets killed because the doctrine stuff blows along and it destroys him. So you're in your brick house. Stay in your brick house. If you stay in that brick house, you know, you've got nothing to worry about. You're going to be challenged. You're going to be persecuted. But stand strong. You don't have to justify why you... If you have to justify why you're doing, then you're slipping backwards. And I'm telling you, since I recognize this thing about stumbling, that has really been a lot to me. Do you understand the stumbling thing? I'm going to do it one more time because I got a couple of minutes to just rant and yak here. The stumbling thing, we're not to cause anybody to stumble. No, we're not to cause the weak brother to stumble. The lost world is going to stumble at us. They don't want it. They don't like it. And when you show up, they don't like you. They don't want to hear it. But it's that weak brethren. It's our grandkids. It's our nieces. It's our nephews. It's all those little people that are trying to be the little Christian, and then you come up, you start swimming, you go to these places, you start dressing like this, you start eating like this, you drink the stuff you drink, and it's all because you just don't want to cause any troubles, and this is the way we are. You're leaving your brick house. You want to move back into a straw house, or you go to the stick house. You know, so dumb, you won't go to the straw house, but you go to your little stick house. And something's going to come along, and it's going to make you real mad. and it's going to blow your thing. And in the meantime, your changes are going to cause those little kids, those little nieces, and those little beginning Christians going to think, well, look at that. Look what she's doing. Yeah, she's at the beach. What are you doing at the beach? Yeah, you're at the winery. What are you doing at the winery? You're at these sports things. What are you doing at these sports things? I mean, it's fun to go baseball games and stuff like that. I'm not knocking that, but look, listen to the music. You know, all the things I was reading about, you know, the mothers that are going off to work. You can't expect your daughter not to want to go off to work. Then you got these fathers again that are teaching their girls to be boys. Ah, it's just crazy. And those people are causing the beginners to stumble. Not the lost world. The lost world to care less. And you've got to, it's not going to please your flesh, but you understand that. You know you're not going to, you know what you want to do. You know, Romans chapter 6 tells us that we can choose now. He says, you know, everybody thinks as Christians you're supposed to stop sinning. Well, Christ made that happen. He took care of the law. So nothing's a sin anymore. All things are lawful. And they can't fathom that thing. Why can't they fathom it? They can't take somebody telling them, okay, fine, show them their Bible. Oh, wait a minute. Their Bible doesn't teach that. Their Bible says nothing about rightly dividing the word of truth. Their Bible says nothing about how Christ took care of sin and he took care of the law and all things are lawful, but they're not expedient and they don't edify. And this part of your flesh is an occasion for flesh. No, I'm not supposed to do it for that reason. And it causes stumble. So they don't get it. No, we're not supposed to do these things for the lost world. It's the Christian that's going to stumble that sees you doing something or eating something or going somewhere or behaving somewhere or listening to something or taking clothes down and off and shorter and thinner and tighter. This, we're causing Christianity, the Christians, to stumble. So all these people that are out there in these places, the parks, the showing off their bodies and their skins because they lost weight, the beaches, the movies, the movie house, going to Blockbuster and Netflix and getting their junk and watching them at home, and the homeschooling crowd is being just worthless anymore. More people concerned about LeBron, Joe, whatever his name is, and all that kind of stuff. And you're out there, ladies, washing cars and climbing ladders and being the Proverbs 31 lady for your man. That's wrong. It's totally 100% wrong. And you're not following the risen Christ. You're loving pleasure more than God. Out of that, it goes out. You're out in the public when you're supposed to be home with your family. You know, it just goes on and on. Where are Christians at today? You can't find them anywhere except out in the world. And what are you doing out there looking for Christians out in the world? It's just like these people that work for these movie companies. They have to watch all these movies to tell people how bad they are. So people want, well, that's just stupid. And the world knows that. They read that kind of stuff and think that's kind of crazy. So anyway, stay in your brick house. Don't let the huff and puff of temptation and the huff and puff of these so-called Christians that live in stick houses and straw houses. Don't let them bother you. Don't let them step back, you know. And yes, your flesh is not going to be happy with it. You're not going to please your flesh. And then the last thing again here is, what are these people doing? They're trying to edify themselves. They want themselves to be happy. And it even says, well, I'll show you the verse tonight. We're going to talk about speaking in tongues, how it's a very interesting study to me. It's not quite how I perceive it because I listened to somebody teach it to me. Now I see what's going on in the tongues things a whole lot more. But they say that just tongues will edify themselves. See, and the Bible scriptures say that, yes, but you don't read the next verse. And we're not to edify ourselves. It's better to edify the body of Christ. So these people, these Christians that are everywhere dressed horribly, doing their thing, leaving the house, da-da-da-da, they think they're edifying themselves. They're trying to grow as a Christian. They're supposed to have more grace and more love and all this kind of baloney. And that's not what Paul teaches at all. We'll talk about that tonight. So there's my little whine about Christians are just, we're just not doing the job. We're in our little straw stick houses and everybody's quitting like crazy. They just don't want to do it anymore. And it's here. Nobody wants Paul stuff. Nobody wants King James Bible anymore. And they want to get undressed and they want to go places they shouldn't be going. I think the thing that kind of stuck me more recently all of a sudden is all these people that are going off to Vegas. I lived in Las Vegas. We left Las Vegas because we didn't want to grow our kids up looking at billboards of pornography on the billboards. We enjoyed the meals at the casinos. We had to, you know, we had to get out. We knew it was going to take us down. And now we got Christians going on vacations to Vegas. We got Christians going to the Bahamas. Nobody wears clothes on these exotic places. They're going to Cancun or whatever in Mexico. And they're doing it. What are we doing as Christians? Why are we behaving the way, what are we doing wearing what we're wearing? What are we doing going to these places? What are we doing watching some of this junk on TV? What are you doing buying these videos all the time that are modern and the language is dirty and the violence? And you, what do you mean you don't understand Avatar and you think it's fine? Cut it out. Are you that dense that you don't see what's going on in these movies? Christians are just shameful. It's ridiculous. I'm not putting any judgment. I'm sure I'm worthless. But, you know, all things are lawful. But let's quit causing these weak Christians to stumble by what we're doing. Let's quit ourselves stumbling because they have the liberty to do what they're doing. Why do you go along with it? You know what's wrong. Just because they do it. And this compare yourselves with other Christians. I'm not as bad as them. That's baloney. They're not going to be your standard at the judgment seat of Christ. Remember, this is all about your judgment seat of Christ. At least it was a couple years ago. And occasion for the flesh, we're always going to try to make our flesh happy. We fight it. Paul went through that hassle all the time, the mind and the flesh. You know what you want to do is right, but what you're going to do is wrong. We go through that stuff. These modern Christians who think that Jesus is trying to get us to stop sinning, they're crazy. Jews wouldn't do it. Christians wouldn't do it even in Paul's day. That's not the point. Paul couldn't even quit. We have to say no to some things and do the best we can and realize that Christ has taken care of all that stuff. And the reasonable service we can do is cover up for crying out loud. And don't be ashamed of Paul. Don't be ashamed of a King James Bible. Don't be ashamed. Read your Bible. You don't like what your mom and dad are teaching you? Okay, kid, you read your Bible. Show them different. Don't just complain about it because you compare it to what some other pastor said. Open your Bible, you lazy little teenager. Read that thing. I taught speaking in tongues can be a little different tonight because I was teaching what I was taught. We get into the Bible all by itself. Forget what somebody taught you. But I'll tell you, every word becomes 10,000 times more important than it ever has before. And I know falling away, the apostasy, it has to take place. But I know too many people. I know too many battles that are going on. I know too many parents whose kids are just crashing. They don't want to hear it anymore. Sure, we taught them wrong at the early stages of this folly junk. We taught them the Baptist thing. We taught them that, yeah. But can we show them in the scriptures where it's wrong and what's right about stuff? No, it's too late. They're gone. They don't want to hear it. Well, I understand why that happened. But still, nobody knows their Bible. Anyway, whine. You got the scriptures to back it up. You got the three little pigs to back it up. You got the parable of the seed in Luke. You got the house on the rock and all that stuff. And that's in gospel. That's the law you got to follow there to stay strong. God, you know, and that's true in the gospels, that you got to build your house on the rock. You know, in Paul's thing, we put Jesus Christ as on that foundation with Paul. And Paul is Titus. Paul is Timothy. Paul is Romans. Paul is even Corinthians, but even Corinthians has to be rightly divided based on that King James Bible, that which is perfect has come. Otherwise, we're supposed to be speaking in tongues. We're supposed to be healing. We're supposed to have signs. See? And this is why Christians are out on the beaches and they're out there playing around and they're taking their clothes off. I keep talking about that. That just irritates me. When winter comes along, things will settle down. I don't know anymore. You know, the music is horrible. I've been reading some lists of some men. Trying to find some characters. You know what they all do? They all listen to just junk music. Man, music is so destructive. If your kids are listening to modern Christian music, they're gone already. They're done. You're not going to teach them anything. They're history. Let them go, I guess. Let them get out to that world. Let the world beat them up. Oh, well, anyway, there's my time this morning.